You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
Exodus, and let's notice chapter number 14. Of course, the book of Exodus is the second book in the Bible. Amen. Notice the book of Exodus, and we want to call your attention to chapter number 14. This is a familiar chapter with many of us, as God has delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, and he has moved them out of Egypt, and he is bringing them into what he has for them. And so he has did a number of things that convinced Pharaoh to let his people go. And so when we get to Exodus, the 14th chapter, we're going to look at verse 15, because the Israelites had came to a place where within their own strength, they could go no farther. And so Israel was seemingly trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh fastly approaching, having changed his mind about letting them go. He is now coming for them. And so the Israelites, again, are seemingly trapped, again, at the Red Sea, with Pharaoh coming to take back possession of them and breaking his promise to let them go. But they seemingly can't move forward because the sea is in front of them. And so we pick it up in Exodus 14 and verse number 15. Notice what the Bible said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Remember, I told you forward was directly into the sea. But nevertheless, in Exodus 14, 15, and the Lord said to Moses, to the lawgiver, to the leader, to the deliverer, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." They wouldn't obey God and begin to move forward. The Lord would do on that day a great miracle that was not only known in the time of the text, but is known to this very day. And so we look at verse number 30, and the Bible says, "So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." But I want you to go back to verse 15, because this is where we're going to take our text. We see, according to verse 30 and verse 31, that God performed a miracle on that day, and he saved Israel from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But notice when we look back at verse 15, that Moses and Israel began to cry to God. Now, often when you look at the word cry, it can be used in the Bible to have the meaning of to cry out or to cry loud to God. It is often used in the Hebrew for prayer, asking God for help. But I want you to understand, when you really consider all that is taking place in Exodus 14, that this was not a cry in the form of a prayer or a petition. But when you continue to look back and study the scripture, Israel had got into a place because they were seemingly trapped, couldn't go forward and couldn't go backwards, that they actually began to cry in the form of whining. they begin to complain. And of course, this was Israel's MO, if you will. This is just what they did when God was good, when God was blessing, when God was helping, when he was doing whatever they felt he needed to do, then they were praisers. They were people that would bless the Lord. I'm already talking to somebody. But whenever they had to go through trouble, whenever it looked as if God wasn't going to do for them what needed to be done, Israel would turn into complainers. They would start whining in a second. Are y'all with me? And so notice when you look at it again, when you study this story carefully, you'll see about Israel that there were times that Moses would take on the spirit of the congregation. And if the congregation were complaining, Moses as the leader, he would often allow what they were doing to get next to him so that he would take on their spirit or their attitude. And so notice in the text, though it seems as if God is only speaking to Moses, I want to say to you that he's not. When you look at the previous verses, God is not just dealing with the mindset of Moses, but he is more importantly dealing with the mindset of this entire congregation. And notice what he says again. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 15, "Why do you cry to me? Why do you cry to me?" That seems strange that God would ask them if they're praying, why they're praying. We're praying because we need help. But he says to them, "Why do you cry to me? Why do you whine to me? Why are you complaining to me? Why are you pouting? Woo! Tell the people to move forward." But before they can move forward, they got to stop crying. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, based upon all that Pastor has said, the subject this morning, stop crying. Ooh, look at somebody and tell him or her, stop crying. Look at one more person and say, "I don't know what all you're going through and how long you've been going through it, but there's a message from God. And that message is stop, finish it. Stop what? Stop what? No more complaining. No more whining. No more pouting. Stop crying." And it's needed today. Again, Israel, or the Israelites, were God's chosen people. He handpicked or he hand selected them to be his people, to do a work through them that other nations would see and marvel at. I want to say to you again that he hand selected them. He picked them out. They were not the most prosperous at the time that God got to dealing with a man by the name of Abram. They were not the strongest when he got to dealing with them, but nevertheless, God selected him a people that he would begin to call my people. He would put his name upon Israel, and he would so move for them that it would begin to be known throughout the nations that Israel was God's holy people. And I know we're looking at Exodus 14, where God has brought them out of Egypt. Egypt represents the house of bondage. But I want to show you that Egypt for Israel was not always the house of bondage. It was not always a bad place for Israel, because God is having to deliver them in Exodus 14 because of the cruelty for which Pharaoh had been punishing his people. I said Pharaoh and the Egyptians had been treating God's people with cruelty. They had not only enslaved the Israelites, but they were treating them as if they were dogs, as if they really wasn't people. And Pharaoh, whenever they would complain to him about the hard task that he had put upon them, Pharaoh, being mean as he was, he increased their punishment. In other words, when something seemed hard for them and they complained to Pharaoh, their master, he would take away certain things and make their job more difficult, because he simply did not care about Israel. Oh, I wonder, have you ever been treated by somebody in such a cruel way that you knew up front that they did not care anything about you? Oh, I wonder this morning, has God ever delivered somebody out of the hand of your enemies, out of the hand, out of the paw of the lion, out of the grips of a bear, somebody that was treating you cruel? Have God ever delivered you? Has God ever brought you out of something that you could not bring yourself out of? Oh, I know there are some people here, that is the reason you praise God the way that you do. This is what separate praisers. I mean the true praisers. I mean the folk that are not ashamed to give God the glory. You have to be to the point to where God brought you out of something that you know you could not bring yourself out of. And so you are not ashamed to praise him. You remember the crackhead you used to be. You remember the drunk you used to be. You remember the whoremonger you used to be. You remember running the clubs the way you used to. But God brought you out with his mighty hand. When people said you never changed, look at you today. Look how God cleaned you up. Look how God has blessed you. He brought you from the bottom and he's raising you up to the top. And you got a testimony that didn't nobody do it but God. Didn't nobody do it but God. I know why I'm blessed. I don't know why some of y'all still seated. I know who got me to where I am. I know who been better to me than mama. Oh, I wish somebody give him a praise right now, because God brought you from a low place to a high place, and you don't mind clapping. You don't mind giving him the glory. Yes, he did it. I said, yes, he did it. Yes, he blessed me. Whoa, am I right about it? Be seated. See, when we tell folk that they don't know our story, man, it ain't just a saying. You really don't know my story. That's when you got to be careful when you judge a person's dedication. Be careful when you judge somebody's praise. When you look at somebody and say, she ain't got to do all that. Wait a minute. You don't know her story. You don't know where she'd be this morning if God had not did for her what he did. I'm talking in this small church. God has changed folk lives for the better. He has taken slaves and made them royalty. Whoa! Has he blessed you like that? Set us over in neighborhoods that without his help, I'm trying to paint a picture. That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. I'm just painting a picture. But in Exodus 14, God has had to deliver them out of the house of bondage. But I want to show you in Exodus 1. Notice Exodus 1. Something you got to understand about the Israelite story. Notice in Exodus 1. Just turn back a couple chapters. Notice Exodus 1. And let us notice verse number 7. Because this isn't the first time Israel or God's people found themselves in Egypt. If you remember, Joseph was sold as a slave into Egypt. And while being sold as a slave into Egypt, by his own brethren, God had other plans. I'm already teaching. See, that's when you can't worry about what your enemy's trying to do. Sometimes God gonna let your enemies do stuff, but you gotta recognize that God got other plans. Now they're meaning it to kill me, but God is meaning it to bless. Whoa! Sometimes God let folk do you a certain way, but he has other plans. Woo, God, somebody right now, you're going through something with folk, but I'm telling you, God has other plans. Even once Joseph got down into Egypt, when he finally met his brothers, he let his brothers know what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. And so Joseph being sold into Egypt as a slave, not only remained in Egypt, but then Joseph got to the place to where God raised him up in Egypt and put him second in charge. His father Jacob, thinking that Joseph was dead at the deception of his own brothers, they began to go through a famine. They needed bread and they didn't have it. And so you know the story. God began to allow Jacob to send some of his boys to Egypt to get bread. And guess when they got to Egypt, guess who they had to deal with? They had to deal with Joseph. The one you threw in a pit, you don't even know it's going to be his decision whether you get bread or not. I'm talking to somebody. You got to recognize that God has other plans. Can y'all get with that? He has other plans. And so he began to send some. Later on, Joseph set them up, making sure they would have to bring the youngest brother back to him. Joseph had a plan. Eventually, Joseph would make known himself to his brothers. His brothers would apologize to him. Joseph was not a bitter man at the time because of how God had dealt with him and how God had blessed him. I tell somebody today, no matter what you go through, don't become a bitter person. Oh, God, everybody don't know what you've been through. They don't know how bad it was for you, but don't allow whatever you've been through to cause you to become bitter. Joseph was not bitter. God cannot bless a bitter person. You've got to learn to put your trust in God. Say it again, Pastor, and know that God has other plans. And so eventually, Joseph sends the message for Jacob and all of his household to come to Egypt. And when they got down to Egypt, because Joseph was Jacob's son, the second in charge, Joseph was royalty. The only one ahead of Joseph or above Joseph was Pharaoh himself. But he was only that in name because of how God was blessing Joseph and because of the wisdom which God was giving to Joseph. So when Jacob and all his family came down to Egypt, they were royalty. They were treated like royalty, even to the point to where they picked out a certain land. And because Joseph wanted his family to have that land, Pharaoh gave it to them. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Gave it to them and allowed them to live on it and do whatever they wanted to do. Oh, I'm talking about how good God is. We were singing about it a while ago. He been mighty good. He been mighty good. Don't you know down in Egypt, Jacob, his brothers, and everybody had to just be talking about how good God was, how God had blessed them, how God had saved them from the famine. Joseph, whom we thought was dead, is not only alive, but he's the man in charge. He is the boss man. Joseph is the shot caller. Oh, y'all ain't ready this morning. And so again, they are just being treated like royalty down in Egypt. And so when you looked at Joseph, when you looked at Jacob and their family, everybody in Egypt knew about them hands off. You can't touch these people. These are some blessed people. Oh, but watch what God does. Watch what he does. See, God got other plans. Notice in Exodus 1 verse number 7. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Verse 8 is what I want you to see. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come and let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happened in an event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us. And so go up out of the land. Verse 11, therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with burdens, and they built for Pharaoh the supply cities, Phetim and Ramses. Notice what happened. All of a sudden, they were living good. Oh, it's what the old folk would call living high on the hog. They were royalty in Egypt. Oh, come on. You couldn't touch Joseph and his family. Joseph is second in charge. But see, God had a plan. And see, sometime in our life, God would do things so that we don't get too comfortable. Oh, see, they done got real comfortable down in Egypt. And so God had to raise up a Pharaoh. He had to raise up a king who didn't know them. Because see, Egypt was not where God had destined for them to be. God had a promised land waiting for them. But sometimes God's people will try to get comfortable in a place where that ain't where God wants you to stay. Yeah, he was blessing you right there. He was being good to you right here. But this is not your final destination. Oh, and sometimes God will allow things to happen to his people so that they don't get too comfortable. Oh, down in a place where this is only temporary. Oh, I'm preaching hard to somebody. Where you at right now, that's only temporary. The trouble that's been happening, it's God's reminder that you don't need to get too comfortable here because I got something better for you. Oh, God, I wish somebody preach it to somebody. Tell them God got something better. Preach that to two more folks. Tell them God got something better. He got something better. Don't get too comfortable in that job. He got something better. Don't get too comfortable in that house. He got something better. Whoa, don't get too comfortable with making that amount of money. God got something. Whoa, it's hard to preach to this congregation about God having something. Something. Be seated, because some of we ask ourselves sometimes, why all this trouble happening? God don't want you to get too comfortable, girl. He got something. And see, God knows how and God knows when to move his people. He know how to cause things to happen in your life that you can't figure out why is this happening. But God has got to get you to the place that he wants you to be. And you have to always remember, as children of the Most High God, that God is always sovereign in the affairs of his people. God is sovereign in the affairs of the world. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. You have to always remember, no matter what you're going through, no matter how long you have been going through it, God is sovereign. Can I break that down? God is sovereign in the heavens. God is sovereign in the earth. God is sovereign over all evil. God is sovereign over everything and everybody. God is the original true owner of everything that I see. You know, man to get boastful and start claiming that they own something, but not in totality. Because we are like vapor being humans. We are here today and we are gone tomorrow. Is that right? But God is the true owner. Because he alone is sovereign. And so being sovereign, he allowed this trouble to break out. He allowed Israel to start being treated as slaves. And they began for years to cry out to God. for deliverance. Get us out of this predicament, Lord. Help us, God. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. For we are in the house of bondage. Woo! I said it earlier, but there are some places you can find yourself in that if you're going to come out of that place, only God can bring you out. I said you can find yourself in a place, in a situation that if you're going to come out and come out better, it's going to take God. It's a job for God. Whoa, and I'm wondering this morning, is anybody going through something that you recognize about your situation that this is a job for God? I can talk to Pastor about it. I can get him to pray with me. But this is too big for Pastor. This is a job for God. There are some things that is too big for money. There are things you can get tied up in, twisted up in, that your money cannot deliver you. Folk cannot deliver you. Family cannot help you. It is a job just for God. And so as God brings them out, as he delivers them through one plague after the other, showing Pharaoh his sovereignty, that he got it to a place to where Pharaoh said within himself, I need to let these people go. The God that they serve, there is no one like him. And we are fighting a losing battle. See, once God say let go, once God decree about your life, time for them to come out. Nobody can hold you. I say nobody can hold you. Nobody can hold you down when God has declared or decreed time for them to overcome. See, that's when some of y'all get mad with me. I not recognize I'm a black man, but I refuse to sing the song. We shall overcome because I have already overcame. And I'm not held down by any man. Whoa. Show you right about it. Now y'all march and sing it. I'm not saying I won't march, but I won't sing that song. So he brings them out. And as they're leaving, no doubt, Israel is shouting. What a wonderful day this is. Y'all know how we are when God really blesses us. When he do one of them good measures, them pressed down and shaking together, and one of them running off. Woo! We can get in a place where we so happy that we cannot imagine anything happening that could ever spoil or ruin the cloud he done put us on. I wonder if y'all ever been there. Some have been there just getting a new car. Driving that back home, you was just, ain't nothing. Watch now, I got you. To the point to where sometimes God will bless us and we'll say stuff like, Lord, if you don't do nothing else, you already done enough. What's going on with y'all? We got the keys to the house. And if God don't do nothing else, he already done enough. I remember some folks in here were like them. You got your house. You ain't smiling like that no more though. Because see, God has a way of blessing us. But it isn't the end of troublesome days. No. Y'all let me deal with it. So he's bringing them out. And again, they had to be celebrating. They had to be some happy folk. But as they continued journeying, they came as far as they could come and couldn't go any farther. If they thought that that was bad news, they could hear the marching of horses and chariots in numerous numbers, to the point to where no doubt it was shaking the earth. Because Pharaoh didn't decide to come at them without bringing full force. Yeah, he had been disappointed one time by letting them go, but he wasn't about to make the same mistake twice. And so Pharaoh is not just coming, but he is loaded down. He is not planning on being defeated by these simple-minded Israelites who I should have never let go in the first place. And so Israel is trapped, seemingly. The Red Sea in front, and the noise of an angry Pharaoh coming for them. And they began to cry. See, this is where it's going to get quiet. Because the same people that'll be shouting one day, if you listen just right, they'll be whining about something the next day. Not sister so-and-so. Yeah. All she do now is complain, complain, complain. This woman act like she the only one going through trouble. Do you see how she come to church now? She been pouting now about something for quite a while. See, I told you we're going to get quiet. Because some of us are guilty of praising God when it goes well, but whining, like little bitty babies when it go bad. And so here they are, whining. They have options. I said they got options. Turn to Pharaoh and go down fighting. We don't stand a chance. But he ain't gonna just come here and snatch us. We going down fighting. We gonna lose, but not with our back to them. You know how some of us are. We've got to take a beating. Then, hey, they're going to beat me, but folk going to know about me. I was fighting. I hear you. Some of us, we can't get with folk like that. You saying the devil is a lie. You going to option two, which is turn to Pharaoh and cut a deal. Make a deal with him. You know, some of us, we can blame others in a minute. I need to be the first one to get to him, to let him know that this was not my deal. Can I say to you, Mr. Pharaoh, that I quite loved Egypt? Good food. Work a little hard. But I's not mine's Egypt. And if I could get back there, then I'd be real happy. Can we cut a deal? And you see this in the church. Woo, with backsliders. What, y'all done cut a deal? You done went back to Egypt, to the house of bondage. Saying it don't take all that. The devil promising you if you come back, you won't be as bad as you used to be in your former days. And you cut a deal with it, not knowing that the Bible said when a man backslide, that he gets 7 times worse. That the demon that once ruled that house will grab other demons and come back. And the Bible said that that state of that person will be worse than at the very beginning. But church folks are cutting deals with the devil. Church folks are backsliding. Leaving God, returning to their vomit. Can I teach it right? That's what it would have been like for God to deliver Israel, only for them to go back to Egypt. Listen, voluntarily. That's a dog returning to his own vomit. But look at somebody and shout to them and tell them, but there's a third option. Look at somebody else and tell them that there's a third option. And shout to them that third option. You got to really shout this like you mean it. Just shout to them, believe God. What's that third option? Do what? Have the audacity to do what? Be crazy enough to do what? Look like we trapped and you telling me what? Bills are behind and you saying what? Mortgage due and you saying what? Folks stabbing me in my back and you saying what? Doctor saying I got a death sentence and you saying what? Believe who? Believe who? With all this, believe who? That is your answer this morning, child of God. Believe God. Reasons to believe him. Number one, they're only where they are because God got them there. I just dropped one on you then. Woo, how many times have I kicked demons out of my house? By letting them know, I'm only here because God put me here. Y'all ain't hearing me. See, when God truly brings you to a place and people are trying to do in that place what God has not ordained, you have to remind yourself that the only reason we where we are is because God brought us here. And if God got me here, God can keep me here. And if God can keep me here, God can take me. See, God will put you somewhere and demons will try to scare you. They'll try to serve a fake eviction notice on you. But you got to recognize if God truly puts you there and you're really obeying him, then you cannot be kicked out from where God puts you. I'm preaching to somebody. See, sometimes all we got to do to defeat demons is to remind ourselves who brought us this far. How did you get to where you are? You tell for God did it. But if God did it, why are you so scared? If God did it, why are you whining so much? Because see what God done one time, he's God enough to do it. Well, y'all understanding me? They wouldn't even be where they are unless he had brought them there. But it's amazing how when we get in trouble, we forget how powerful God really is. And you start crying. See, in this congregation, we got some crybabies. Yeah, we do. And some of them mad now because I'm calling them a crybaby. I see how Pastor is. God know if he only knew what all I was going through, he wouldn't call me no crybaby. But see, you don't know what all I'm going through. You don't know what all your sister going through. You don't know what all your brother going through. Don't make no excuses for being a crybaby. God looks at Moses. He said, why do you cry to me? Why are you whining the way you do? Haven't I always taken care of you? Haven't I always provided for you and them children? Haven't I made a way where there was? Why are you whining? Tell Israel to move forward. See, there'll come a time in your life where you will think everything that can go wrong is going wrong. You will think it's all falling apart. But God will look at you and say, stop crying, because it's all falling together. Tell them to move forward. Tell them I said advance. See, this going over somebody's head, because you... See, because you're a sight walker. You can't understand advance how and we broke. How do you advance and you broke? How do you move and you're hurting? You just move, baby. You just do what he's telling you to do. If you ain't got it, move anyhow. It must mean it's coming. But see, God understands that his people cannot advance. They cannot progress until they stop. Tell your neighbor, there are some instructions you can't carry out while you're still crying. Woo! You still crying over what was. You can't move. You crying over what might happen. You can't move. Nothing that they said would happen has happened, but you're whining that it might happen. It ain't enough to be strong around people if you're not strong by yourself. I need to say it on this side. It ain't enough to be strong around people if you're not strong by yourself. Break it down, Pastor. It ain't enough to be strong in the pulpit if you're not strong at the kitchen, at the house. If you ain't got strength in the bedroom.
If you can't shake stuff off in the living room, then you're really not as strong as you claim to be. Because I found out that it don't take a whole lot to be strong at church around anointed people. You got to learn to be strong. Woo! When the enemy trying to knock down your door. When he come to repossess your church. Want them strung out. Want them on crack. That's when you got to be strong at the house, mama. And tell the devil, tell demon, you got to get by me first. Tell them. Or ask them, why do they cry? Why are they whining again? And you, BC, you know what God would say to some of us? Why are you acting like that? And you ask me to use you. You wanted me to anoint you. Yeah, Lord, I said, anoint me, but you sent trouble. And then God looked at you and said, trouble is how I anoint you. Pain brings the anointing. Hurt brings the anointing. The more folks stab me in my back, the stronger I get. The harder I preach. You got to break down. Why they crying? Why they whining? It's simple. The journey wasn't easy. I thought it would be easy. I didn't see this happening to me. Church was growing. I didn't see them leaving. I didn't see him doing me like this. I thought he would always. I wanted children bad, but this ain't easy. This ain't easy. Tell your neighbor, who told you that it would be easy? Pastor, I'm just trying to get a good car. I thought it would be easy. Oh, you know how many times I got turned down before I drove a good car? Folk tried to embarrass me out there on the lot. I said, God, you told me to go. And they asked me, why did I come? I thought it would be. Man, I got to tell the truth on myself. I thought, Pastor, and I thought it would be. Woo! See, it's one thing to be marching and run into a Red Sea. But there go the ships. There's the boat. All we got to do is hop on board. But see, it wasn't easy. When they got to the Red Sea, there was no ship. There was no boat. Isn't it amazing? how things don't work out the way we saw it working out in prayer. Pastor, when you prophesied to me, I saw the beginning and the end. But see, it's all this stuff in between. And they started whining. Tell Israel to move forward. It shows you the power of sight, because they're only crying because they see no way out. But in order to move forward, they're going to have to be faith walkers. I got a word for somebody. God said, when you move, and not one second before, when you move, I will split this sea. But I'm not going to do it until you show me you are a faith walker. Faith pleases me. And if you will move now, I'll split this sea. What you got in your hand? A rod, stretch it out. And when Israel started moving, God started blowing on the sea. And he split it. Listen to me. So that they went across on dry land. Didn't want them getting stuck. But they had to stop crying. Tell you, they passing the clothes. But if you ain't got it by now, God ain't gonna do it. Not what you want him to do. Not what you need him to do. Until you stop crying. You can get better today, but you gotta stop crying. And you gotta do what mama and them used to say. You dry it up. I'm trying to close. But anybody had any old school parent? Whoop your end. You'll be crying because of the licks. And they had the nerve to come back in the room and say, shut up right now. I mean, dry it up right now. For I give you more. Now, mama and them can say it. Why can't God say it? Dry it up. I know what's happening on that job. Dry it up. I know what the doctor said. Dry it up. You hear somebody going to tell you what pastor preached about yesterday. Dry it up. Folk need to stop crying. Let me close it. He moved them through. Look at Psalm 73. We're closing right here. I had more, but I'm finna let it go. Dry it up. I mean, when you walk out of here today, I want it dried. Next time I preach to you, I want to see it dried. I mean, some of you after a while, you finna have to stand and you just gonna have to get up on your feet and just, I'm sucking this up right now. Cause some of you too old to be crying in the first place. Because God had plan, and he got a plan for your life, and he has a plan for my life. Notice Psalm 73. I'm gonna end it right here, even though I ain't done, fully done, but I'm gonna have to let it go. Psalm 73, I want to show you why he did what he did for them. He needed them to stop crying. He already knew what he would do and what he could do. But why did he do it for Israel? The same reason he do stuff for us today. Psalm 73 in verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel. Tell your neighbor, God is good to me. Ooh, look at somebody else and say, God is good to his people. How many believe that? God is good to his people. Listen, Refuge Nooner, he's been too good to us for us to go through a little bit of trouble and start crying and whining. No. No. What he promised to do, he told me to tell you, he gonna do it. He gonna do it. Do you remember what the Bible said? I read it earlier. How Israel believed God. Watch this. And his servant. In verse 31. See, it ain't enough just to believe God. Because God is going to always at some point require you to believe his man. To believe the man of God. You got to believe today that God told me to tell us to stop. Old folk used to say it back in the day. They tried to teach it in a different way. They'd say, why are you crying over spilled milk? Trying to teach us to dry it up. But see, listen, Refuge. God been good to us. Listen. And he gonna continue being good. When I look at this congregation, you know what I see? I see people who God been good to. Listen, so I ain't being hard on you when I tell you to stop crying. I'm only telling you God been too good to you for you to be whining like that. That's all I'm saying. Now, listen, the other day, I'm telling you, the other day, I'm going down the road. See, because God put his goodness on display. When God start being good to you, he ain't going to do it in secret. He wants people to see it. He wants folk to know how good he's been to you. How many believe that? How many believe God want people to see? He want them to know. How can they know and you whining? How can they know and you're always complaining? They can't. They can't know it. But see, he going to put his goodness on display. Man, I'm riding down the road the other day, down the bypass. And look over on the other side of the bypass. There come Brother Rotten. He didn't even see me. He don't even know this. I seen it. How you know it, Brother Rodney? He was in the truck God gave him. Yeah. To do the business that God gave him. Pulling the boat that God gave him. And I said, God, put your goodness on. See, there's a reason, and I'm going to close with it. There's a reason when you go in stores, they have mannequins. They want to take something good and put it on. And when folks see something good on display, they normally say, I want that. Just like that, with the shoes and the accessories. See, what God want to do is take his people and put you on. So when folks see you, they say, hey, I want what she got. I want what he got. High five, 3-4, if you don't mind, tell them, stop crying, stop crying, stop crying.